Self-Evident is a podcast that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love. Hail and well met, everyone. This is Jenna, and I'm really excited to introduce you to part two of our discussion with Self-Evident's guest host, Rebecca Leland. The first portion of our conversation talked about how Generation Z and millennials can show honor to their parents as adults. Now, in part two, we're covering the topic of singleness, which is a status in life that is hard to accept as a gift because, for most people, it's not. We hope you enjoy.
You mentioned something earlier, though, that I wanted to touch back on. You mentioned your walk with singleness, and I know that on your personal Instagram and your personal social media, you've been really open with...
For better or for worse, yes.
With your single journey and what that looks like for you at that stage.
Yeah.
And I've just personally found it to be such a breath of fresh air of how... I'm sure it's difficult, but you have had such just a Christ-like attitude in all of it and just being so vulnerable. So just tell us more.
Yeah, I just talk a lot. So whatever I'm going through, I end up talking about.
And then God uses you.
And God does. And so then I'm like, wait, if I stop talking about it, will he let me get married? That's where my brain goes. But no. Yeah, so singleness has been fun. So like up until I was 28, I had never been asked out on a date before. No man had ever told me he thought I was cute or liked me, and so I had like some issues because I didn't trust God in the fact that I'm a beautiful woman and that he created me to do things other than be in a relationship at that certain time. So whenever I reached 28, I was like asked out for the first time, which was so exciting. I had my heart broken for the first time. That was really exciting.
That's not the right word for that.
Really growing, because we only went out like twice. And then this past year, I had my first relationship, and we dated for like 2 months. Pretty much every day after that, I was like, wait, Lord, was that the right thing to do? Because like, I still have this desire to be married, and I just gave it up. And God was like, yes, like, it's okay to have that desire. And that's like the number one thing I wanted to give every single Christian woman. If you have the desire to be married, that is a good desire. We were created with that desire, and we're supposed to have that desire. At what time? That's for God to know and not us. And do not be living your life for that desire. Live your life for the desire for Christ, and he will bring you what he wants to bring you at the time he wants to bring it to you. We have the free will to do whatever we want, in my opinion. I could today, and this is an idea that it keeps me alive and well. I could be married today. I could go online. I could find a man. There's a man out there. There's a man out there. Maybe cut this out if this is not politically correct.
No, go for it. No,
okay.
Go for it.
There are things called green cards, and there are men
who... Oh, my gosh.
So now you're like,
maybe so, like, 90-day fiance.
Literally, I could 90-day fiance. Maybe 90 days, but maybe not tomorrow. I could 90-day fiance someone, right? Like, literally. Like, we could 90-day fiance someone.
Should I take your phone from you?
That's where God says, do you want to? And I'm like, well, no, I don't want a 90-day fiance. And he goes, why? Why do you want a 90-day fiance? I'm like, well, I want him to love you with all his heart, because if he doesn't, I'm going to be really miserable. He goes, uh-huh. Yeah. What else? I'm like, well, I would like him to find me attractive. That'd be really nice. He goes, uh-huh. Is there anyone in your life right now like that, Rebecca? No. And we just nod at each other for a second. And it's this like wake-up call where it's like, the desire you have is good. It's biblical. He created man, then he created woman from man. We are meant to be together. It is not good for man to be alone. And that is all good. That idea, okay, great. You don't need it. Stop asking God to make you not want to be married. Like, I just had to stop saying, Lord, then take it away. He's like, no, it's not how this works. But then it's like, okay, what are you doing? What are you doing with the time that you have? What are you doing with the desire that you have? So that's why I started just like sharing about it. Cause I'm like, I'm pretty sure more people feel like this. And like, what should I do? What should I do with this longing? Share about it. Like, share that it's actually really hard and you cry a lot. Share that you... And I have, like, grabbed onto relationships with guys and held on to that too tightly to where God had to, like, rip it away and it hurt really bad. And I was looking for, like, love and affection from guy friends that I shouldn't have been because that's not what God had given me or wanted for me. And so I had to go through that a little bit. And so I'm standing on this precipice of the end of my 20s and the beginning of my 30s, and I have never felt more excited ever because I'm like, okay, I feel like I get it now. I'm supposed to be, dare I say, living my life right now for Christ. Crazy, I know. And I'm supposed to have this desire for marriage and do something with it, but that's not getting married today. It's like being a voice of, we are living in a really weird day and age where the average woman is getting married or having her first child at 27. That's like not happened in history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's okay that you're feeling weird that you're single at 29. It is weird that you're single at 29. This is odd. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing with this space? God has just given me, like, this coming summer have, which it's going to be interesting, like, what he keeps bringing me and how I keep praying about it. But I want to have, like, I forget what it's called, but it's like where everyone sits down and you, like, talk to someone for, like, 1 minute and then you move on.
Oh, speed dating.
Speed dating. Because I'm like, name somewhere that's like a bar for Christians. Like, other than church, yeah. Where are singles meeting? Is this so weird? Do you not believe in it?
We were just talking about this with my husband earlier.
What are his hot takes?
He was saying that he sees it a little bit dangerous, that you're risking, oh, what did he say?
It's kind of like a online dating.
Like a Tinder.
Yeah,
where it's just like you're swiping left, situation.
Swiping left, swiping yes. left, swiping left.
But imagine Tinder not being run by an organization that is, like, soulless. Imagine, like, believers. So, like, yeah. That is my thing. So, oh, caveat.
Yeah.
Christians.
Period.
So it's going to be Christians, period. There are going to be people I will not allow in. And it's going to be in that sense. But, like, I just know, like, let me tell you, I know a lot of Christian single youngins. Men and young women.
Yeah.
And, like, not just youngins. Like, I know 35s to 40-year-olds as well. And I'm just like, there's got to be a reason. Because it's not to date them all. It's, what is it for? And it's I think it's to gather and to connect.
I think that'd be a great idea for the purpose of at least getting everyone in the same room.
Yes. Yes. Because then I think it's about, right, because, like, we just lost that. And then I have a passion. So even, I mean, that just came to me, like, last week. So we're mulling it over. We're giving it to the
this
Lord.
This is really,
like,
cool.
We'll see. And then it's funny because, like, recently the, like, very evident, self-evident, God-evident evidence that he has given me that I'm supposed to be single right now. Is it's so weird. RFK Jr.
Yeah.
He was, like, inaugurated or whatever. And okay. He had a little speech. And in his little speech, he was like, I have been praying on my hands and knees for 20 years that God would give me the ability and the opportunity to help children who are sick and, like, to help heal them, like, in his words.
Yeah.
And I, like, heard that. And, like, I actually don't know if he's been on his hands and knees praying. Amen. We don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, I heard that. And God was like, I was like, have I ever physically gotten on my hands and knees and prayed about my singleness? Never once.
Wow.
Like, I've complained a lot about my singleness, and I've prayed a lot about my singleness, but I've never, like, hands and knees on the side of my bed. RFK's out here saying he's done for 20 years.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I could try it. So that night, I got my hands and knees, like, next to my bed, hands on my little bed, like, looking like a little kid in a book. And I was like, okay, God, I'm giving it to you. Like, I don't even know what to say right now because I'm not just, like, out here complaining. I'm giving you my singleness. Mm-hmm. Help me be content. Like, help show me, like, what you want to do with this. That next week, so that was, like, whatever day he was, and I think it was, like, a weekend.
Okay.
A lady reached out to me, and she was like, hey, I'm in South Carolina, and I want to set you up with this guy in South Carolina. Like, what do you think? And I was like, that's quirky. Yes. And so in, like, 3 days, we get on a FaceTime call, uh-huh. And we're FaceTiming for, like, an hour and 2 minutes.
Nice.
And at the end of the hour.
I love how you know. Like, an hour and 2 minutes.
Because I gave him such a sweet guy, yeah. Such a fun guy, not my guy, but that's okay. Because I was, like, on the phone, like 2 minutes. Over, I was like, okay, it's so nice meeting you. If I'm ever in South Carolina, I will contact you. And he goes, okay, beep, never heard from him again. And that's okay. But, like, in the moment, I was like, what a gift from God. Mm-hmm. Number one, answered their prayer so quickly. Did not, he didn't do that, but he did.
Yeah.
And he just showed me there are men out there. There are Christian men out there. There are good Christian men out there. There are a lot of good Christian men out there that aren't your man. Mm-hmm. Are you going to go pursue those Christian men who are not your man? Or are you going to let me bring one? And I'm like, I'm going to let you bring one. I trust you.
Amen.
And then fast forward this next Sunday, I got asked out by a random man at church.
Ah!
Not my guy. And praise God, it's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, like, very shocked. And I was like, thank you so much. No, I'm honored, you know? And I think, again, it was God being like,
I told you.
Christian guy? Yeah. Your guy? No.
Wow.
Are you going to trust the one who created all things, created you, created life, is with you? Like, if he is omnipresent, he's with me in a month. He's with me on my wedding day right now. Mm. And it's like, do I trust him? Do I trust that he has a better plan than I do? Your ways are higher than our ways, as the heavens are higher than the earth. If I truly believe what the Bible said, I know that my very creative, very lovely mind is nothing compared to God's.
Amen.
And so that's what I'm excited to walk into my single 30s with, in, like, such a hopeful and, like, not this weird, like, oh, so you're still single, or like, mm-hmm. Oh, how are you dealing with that?
Yeah.
I cry a lot, okay? But that's okay, because emotions
are good.
Gift from the Lord.
Amen.
Helps get those toxins out, amen? And it's just good. It's just, it's good. So that's my spiel about, like, single.
I love that.
It's a spiel, but, like, God's doing stuff. And, like, I'm excited. That is
so encouraging.
Thank you.
And so the message that I'm hearing right now, women, is we just need to get on our hands and knees on our bedside and just pray.
Just pray. Because God will make it clear. And it's not often. For me, it's 2 months. God answers my prayers in 2 months. Like, that's what he's recently been doing. Mm. And it's quirky enough to where I think I forget. He allows me to forget about the prayer for two. Like, I'm, like, thinking about it for a month and a half. I'm, like, come on, God. And then I'm, like, okay, give up. And he's, like, boom. I'm, like, what? And it's recently been 2 months. Like, getting a job, getting out of relationships. I'm, like, God, if this is not for me, then take it away. 2 months later, wow. He done did the thing.
Yeah.
In a good way. Like, so good. But then I thought it was cool that he was, like, okay. I didn't even need. But, like, he just took 3 days. And he was, like, I'm going to show you in the span of a week that I'm answering your prayers and I'm listening. And he does. Like, God wants to. Pray for wisdom. Pray for peace. Pray for the things that the Bible says he will give you. He doesn't say, like, maybe, ands, or buts. Yeah. He's going to give it to you.
That's so beautiful when you experience answered prayer. Because for me, obviously I know that God is with me and that the Lord is always...
It's head knowledge.
But then so many times with answered prayer, you just feel so seen in the deepest way.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you heard me when I was whispering to you at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And that's just such a beautiful thing that when the Bible says that he never sleeps and he doesn't weary, and you experience that, wow, you heard my prayer at 2 a.m. and you answered it the next day.
And how intimate. You know? Like, out of everything this good God could be doing... He's listening to us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how humble.
And all of us at the same time.
And then, like, orchestrating and doing things that only he can do.
Yeah. It's so amazing.
It's like, gives you goosebumps.
But, like I said at the beginning when we started this little segue, you are the first person that I have met that has such a balanced view towards singleness. Because either you get one end of the spectrum where you get people saying how hard it is and how difficult it is to be single, and then sometimes it'll make me as a married person feel really, really awkward, and it's like, okay, you're in a really rough spot, I don't know how to help you. And then some people will ask me for advice. I'm like, it was actually really easy for me, you know. I met my husband, like, really quickly. I didn't have, and he was the only one I dated, like, I didn't have heartbreak, I didn't have, like, up and down. So it's like, it's awkward because it's like, I don't know how to help you.
And then there's some people that almost make you feel bad because you're just, it wasn't up to me, this was God's plan for my life. I don't know what to tell you, and they're just like, give me your secrets.
And I'm like, I don't have any secrets for you. And then you have, you know, the other end of the spectrum where it's like, oh, I don't need a man. It's like that feminist spectrum
which you do. If God is leading you to need a man, you need a man.
Where you almost have people that are starting to hate marriage, like, and go that feminist route of like, oh, who needs a man anyway? Yeah. And I'm content with my friends and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So then it's like, I'm awkward around you too, because it's like, well, I definitely need my man.
Yeah. Amen.
I can't contribute to the conversation. Yeah. So you are the first person that I have met that just balances like both things like so beautifully.
Crazy. I mean, it's idolism. Like both sides. So one is like they're idolizing marriage and they're like, give me what you have.
Yep.
And the way to fight that, like for me, is if I go to a wedding, people are like, oh, is it hard to be at that wedding? And I'll be like,
people have said that to you?
Well, I think it's because I'm so honest about my singleness, and they're just like, oh, we saw you crying last week, so.
Yeah, so obviously you're upset.
Unhinged.
Okay, I would never have the guts to, like, ever do, even if I, okay.
You're so funny.
I never have, but even if I, like, thought that about, like, if I knew, like, someone was, like, struggling with singleness, and they were, like, at a wedding with me, I would never go up to them and be like, was that hard with you? Tell me how you're feeling. Like, how did you feel when they said vows? Like, what did you feel when they kissed? Like, how did you feel?
We heard you hooping and hollering. How did you feel inside?
I would never have the guts to do that.
I think, I don't know. I'm thinking because I'm open, people feel like they can be open with me.
LOL.
And I'm okay. LOL. And sometimes not welcome.
I was about to say, like, I choose to share what I choose to share because I choose to share. That doesn't give you an invitation to just,
like, bash me. But then I think it's God working on me because it's, like, it makes me think about it because I have to have an answer because I have an answer for everything, obviously, because I like to talk. And for me, it's like, oh, no, I've always been fine at weddings because I don't want to marry that man.
Yeah.
Like, I've never.
You're celebrating their day. Yes! It's like, their day.
I'll sit right. I'm like, I'm not her.
Yeah.
Cutie, though.
Yeah.
I don't want him. Like, he's not my man.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with this happening.
Right.
And it's like, God, the people, like, the encouragement to those women who are, like, idolizing marriage and putting on such this pedestal. Wait. Mm. Wait for your guy. You do not need to be jealous of other people's marriages. You do not want that man. Like, that man is in love with that woman. Mm-hmm. Your husband is in love with Alyssa. He's not going to be in love with another woman. Amen? So Amen. It's like you have to, like, let's come down to earth. Like, I think we've put marriage on this pedestal of, like, this perfection, this thing that you have to make you you.
Or to, like, have your life start.
Yes. And then if you then cut yourself from that and say, okay, this pain is too much. I don't want this feeling, this good feeling that God has given me for marriage anymore because it hurts too much. Because there's days where you're like, I don't know how to use a screw gun and I just want a man, you know, and that's okay. So then you cut it off and you say, okay, I'm going to take my life into my own hands. I don't need a man. Mm-hmm. And then you live this false reality of, like, I don't feel this way and I don't need men. And
you just keep telling yourself that.
And it's just a lie. It's just a lie. Don't lie to yourself. Yeah. Stop. The way to combat that, it's like, okay, you're single. Why? Why? Like, why are you single right now? What are you doing? Like, Paul, big fan of Paul, obviously. And he was like, you know what, guys? It is better to be single because you can do so much more. Right. Like, you do not have to think about a spouse. I even love the way he put it. Like, you're not half-minded. Like, you're not thinking, what is Susan thinking? What is Tom thinking? Mm-hmm. Like, you can just think about what Christ is thinking. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy, as singles, we steal that from ourselves. Like, we steal that gift from ourselves because you're thinking about an imaginary person.
Well, to your point, I was just thinking, like, I wonder what time it is because I need to get home and make dinner.
Right, and you praise know? God.
And it's like, yes. I just realized, and I was telling my husband this the other day, I'm like so much of my day is you.
Yes.
And it's not even necessarily intentional. It's just like subconsciously like, oh, I wonder what time it is.
And it's exactly what you're supposed to be doing because that's what God brought you. Mm-hmm. In this moment, in today, on today's date, Jenna and I were not supposed to be thinking about another man. So why are we? Like, why do we sometimes? Like, what are we supposed to think about? The Son of Man. What is he leading us to do? Mm. A podcast. Like, today, that's what he has for us. It's like called wasting the wasting away. Like, stop wasting the wasting away. Like, Amen. Whatever you have to do today, there's like millions and billions of trillions of things better to do Amen. Than worry and think about a man. Like, God does not want that for you. I think that's just like my biggest encouragement. And like, that's what's, I think, gotten me to the place. Like, thank you so much for your words about like, I have it kind of even. I think that's helped me because I'm like, okay, fine. I'm not wasting it. Like, I'm not going to waste this time that God's given me. If it's for the next 80 years, I'm not going to waste it. If it's for the next 8 months, I'm not going to waste it because I know if I look back and I waste it, I'm going to be so mad at myself. Mm. But if I look back, even like if I never get married, I'll look back on this beautiful life that God's given me and just wanted to walk it with me because he's such a jealous God. It was just going to be me and him, you know? Amen. So, and then I'm going to see, I call it doing damage. Like, how much damage can I do in this life? Yes. Like, let's you know, let's just slay for Jesus, you know? Period. And like, yeah, I think those are like my biggest encouragements to like those both sides of the idolizing marriage or the like idolizing self and like self-contentment and the comfortability. Like, it's not about that.
Yeah. So true. Another thing that we had touched on recently on the podcast, and we've talked so much about dating and marriage. Mm-hmm. We've had psychiatrists on.
I've been loving it, by the way. I've been eating it up. If you haven't listened to these podcasts, they're all there for free forever. Wow. And you can just binge them. They're very binge-worthy, let me say. 10 out of 10 recommend.
Binge-worthy content.
Yes.
I disagree because I have to edit them, but it's fine. We're fine. Yeah, right. But we've touched on this so many times because a lot of people, especially in Christian circles, they're always told by the church, say thank you for your gift of singleness because it's a gift for you. And God has given you that gift right now. And so a bunch of single people are like, so why am I not happy? So I'm not supposed to feel this way. And
it's like gaslighting yourself.
Right.
You know,
we're designed to desire relationships and contact with each other. Mm-hmm. And so wanting marriage is a good and beautiful thing. So singleness can be an affliction. It can be a thorn in your side. Mm-hmm. If you're not called to celibacy, then yeah, that's going to be a huge thorn in your side. Like, that's not going to be something.
For sure.
It's not something that you can focus on the kingdom of God, like what you were saying beforehand. Mm-hmm. I know for a long time you're supposed to just think about like, oh no, I'm supposed to be so grateful for my gift of singleness. You can be thankful for the period of time that God has given right now in your life that you can serve him and him alone. Amen. But you don't have to say like, oh no, this is my gift. No, it's your affliction and you can treat it as such. Amen. It's okay.
Amen. But I do think that what is happening right now is sin. And that's why people are so single so long right now. Mm-hmm. And I would say for me and like what my humble research and just talking to people, it's pornography.
Yeah.
My generation, specifically millennials. When did porn become big? Whenever the internet became big. Their parents had not experienced the internet. They did not know the power and the dangers that were on the internet. Satan used the internet in the lives of like little kids, 6 and 7 year olds. Wow. And a lot of my generation were around 7 to 11 when they first introduced to pornography, specifically men.
Wow.
The way that changes your brainwaves, the way that changes, and then at being a Christian, the condemnation that these men feel mm-hmm. and have never been given the correct way of, like, handling what they went through when they were a child, like, the trauma of seeing something that was so disgusting, and then the condemnation they feel because all they learned was, you are a disgusting man, and you should have never watched that, but no, like, here's how to get over that. Mm-hmm. And, like, slowly there've been movements to being, like, put this on your phone or that kind of a thing, but we've absolutely, with the uptick of pornography, we have lost discipleship. Yeah. So now they have this horrible thing they're dealing with no one there to deal with it with them. Yeah. And then now as women, we're calling them just disgusting pigs and we hate them kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing, when I look at, like, why are we still single? These men are, like, yearning to be this incredible father figure, husband figure, but they know they're not ready. So men don't pursue things that they don't think they can do. Like, they're not prepared for it.
Yeah, and it's a maturity level. That is very interesting. There's this one sermon from Pastor Doug Wilson. You can look it up on YouTube. It's called A Sermon to Unmarried Adults. Mm. And he's talking about the reason that the decline, especially in the Christian evangelical circles of marriage, is because the church has completely taken down masculinity and destroyed biblical masculinity. Yep. Like what you were saying, there's no mentorship for these men to like, you know, no one's grabbing their hand and pulling them out of the mire that they're stuck in. Amen. And so then women are turning around and looking at them being just like, why would we ever want anything to do with you? Yep. I remember at my old church, there was a whole situation. There was a choice where, you know, the people who were involved, like the women who were involved, they could choose to turn around and forgive and help these young men grow and mature, but they didn't. Instead, they turned around and they started bashing them against their backs. They started slandering, and they even held Bible studies with these books about, you know, every man who sins ever is wrong. So you need to wait for your white knight, and you need to make sure that you have nothing to do with those swine. Don't throw your pearls before them. And it destroyed the boyhood in my church. And as soon as the boys were able to, like, get a license and drive, they were out of that church. Yep. They were gone to the point where there was no young men in my church at all because they were chased away.
Yep.
Hmm. So that is something that's horrible. I do think we need to be aware of, especially as Christian women, is when you see a man open a door for you, turn around and smile at them. Say, thank you. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, do that again for the next person who's grandma coming down the walk.
Yes.
Like, encourage the masculinity, because obviously we're not supposed to be their mentors, because that's not what we're called to as women.
Nope.
That they need their older men. Amen. So encourage them to go find those older men.
Amen.
So and true. Encourage them in their chivalry where we can.
Amen. Absolutely. 100%. And, like, there is hope. Where our fathers were at 20, I am seeing the change of where men are at their 30s now.
Mm.
So, like, it's taken this 10 years of them, like, grappling, but I've only seen this in Christians. So I am seeing 30-year-old Christian men at a place where they are solid, they know the Lord, they can be a spiritual mentor to their wife, they are getting, like,
and they've also taken dominion of their own sin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which 100% huge. Yeah, and that's absolutely. It's kind of a conversation. They're saying it's whenever you sit down with a young man, it's not have you ever watched pornography.
It's
when and it's how are you doing. Mm. And there are young women, and you have to, like, there are young women who are judgmental and, like, babes, if you want to remain single, continue your way. If you don't want to remain single for the rest of your life, you have to realize, and there was this amazing quote that said, like, your husband's sin nailed Jesus to the cross, your sin nailed Jesus to the cross. Like, you cannot have this idea that, like, his sin and what he has done is any worse than you not trusting God in your singleness for the past 5 years when he was struggling with pornography.
That, like, is such a good point to make, especially, I was there, I was that girl for years at that point until it hit close to home, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So I can never trust any man ever again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I had a beautiful Christian sister come aside and just lovingly take me by the hand and be like, no.
Amen.
No, that's not how it works. You're not going to point out the log in someone's eye when you have one in your own.
Amen.
So you need to deal with your own sin in your own life. And that was so life-changing for me.
Amen. And isn't that, we think, obviously, the man, like, we think, like, oh, God's making me wait because they're not ready. Babes, maybe we're not ready. Maybe we needed to learn, you know, some things and grow in some ways, grow in the gospel, grow in loving one another. Again, it goes back to, what does God have you doing right now?
Yeah.
If your man is growing, like, if you knew you were going to get married at 30, what are you doing right now up until then? Like, how are you doing damage, you know? So I just,
And then another thing that I wanted to point out is, Alyssa, we were talking about romance novels on the National Marriage Campaign podcast, and how that is the equivalent of emotional pornography 100%. For women that pornography is for men. Do think that is so huge in the decline of marriage rates as well.
Yeah, we so often think that porn is like a guy's thing because like they're visually stimulated. But books are like a woman's thing. And even Covenant Eyes released a study that like 3 in 4 women struggle with pornography.
Oh, 100%. Huge.
Yeah. So this is not just a man thing. Like women have started to fall into this as 100%. Well, both with visual and with books. Like I see so many Christian women pull up like their Sarah J. Maas books and I'm like,
And we jokingly call it smutty. And we say, okay, here's the amount of smutty in it. How did it make you feel? Was there a moment where it lit a butterfly in you? Bad. Stop. Yep. Like that that's not up the board. No. And even visual. I got to know moody students really well in a job where I was a full-time missionary, and just how many women struggled with pornography because for the men, it was the physical. For the women, it was emotional. Mm. So the pornography would have like a storyline and it would get the woman hooked. And it's just like, you just watch and you're like, watch the trend and you're like, this is so sick. Like this is so Satan. And it's like, what is his overall scheme? And it feels like it's working. It feels like he's winning. And that can feel discouraging. Like it goes into like the singleness. Feel it. Like, you don't have to be, thank you, God, that I'm single today. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is God's desire for us, because look at Scripture, look at Genesis.
And he gave you those desires.
Yes.
Right.
So it's okay not to be happy with it, but welcome to not being happy, being holy. This is the part of the show where it's not about happiness, it's about holiness. And so it's like, what are we doing? Okay, you're not happy, okay, but God wants to give you joy in this. How are you seeking his joy in that? What are you going to do?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very active. You can be active, and I know it feels like it's out of the woman's control, especially as evangelical women, who we know it's the man. It's the man that has to pursue. Like, your husband pursued you.
Yeah.
You did not go after him and be like, let's go on a date. I'm going to pop down on one knee and, like, propose to you. That's so disgusting. Like, that's not the way it goes. Right. So until then, we feel like we're helpless. You're not helpless.
No.
Like, Jesus has so much for you to do. He wants a relationship with you. Grow in him, because then you'll fall in love with the right guy, because he'll look so much like Jesus, who you already are in love with.
Mm-hmm. You know? Amen. Well, that is a great note to end on.
It's so great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on. I am so excited to have future conversations with you.
And it's going to be great.
Yeah. Until we meet again, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. Thank you for listening. This is Self-Evident.